Yesterday we had a chance to begin to explore Yom Yoma, specifically to begin to explore the opening topic in our Chaim Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, which is appreciating a little more of Elul, the halacha, the hashkafa, historically. And then we left off with three open questions about Rosh Hashanah itself, two of which I want to explore right now. A lot of mitzvahs we said yesterday, a lot of mitzvahs we do in shul. A lot of mitzvahs we do surrounding tefillah, surrounding Shmon Esrei. Kriya Shema is before Shmon Esrei, and Birkas HaTorah is before Shmon Esrei, putting on talis and tefillin is before Shmon Esrei. At Mincha, Kriya HaTorah is before Shmon Esrei. At Shachar, Kriya HaTorah is after Shmon Esrei. Hallel follows Shmon Esrei before Shmon Esrei of Musaf. Lulav follows Shmon Esrei. Megillah follows Shmon Esrei. And then you have Shofar. Shofar, strangely, is in the middle of Shmon Esrei. It is also before and after, but it's also in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Once you stop to think about it, take it for granted, very strange place to find some other mitzvah. As a matter of fact, Tosas on Brachas Daf Yigimon Veis, right where we're at, in Bikias, comments on the sugya of Shaul Nation, the question Machlokas Behudah Reb Meir about to what extent can you pause in the middle of Birkas Kriya Shema or Kriya Shema itself to have a conversation with someone. Tosa says, look, if sometimes you can have a conversation with a Bnei HaKava, someone with a Mechubad, so all the more so you can respond to Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu. It's definitely, a tshuva of Bnei HaKava. Tosa's comments, of course, not in the middle of Shmon Esrei. That's coming up in the fourth paragraph. Fourth or fifth paragraph, in the middle of Shmon Esrei, total lockdown. In the middle of Shmon Esrei, you're locked into a conversation with Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ma Peshar Azvarim. Milk Shmon Esrei was blowing shofar. Couldn't take care of it beforehand, couldn't take care of it afterwards. Okay. There is a notion that Gemara developed, Mishnah, the Gemara developed in the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, of not merely blowing the shofar in a context-free fashion, but blowing the shofar in the context of and accompanied by the three sets of psukim, the three sets of themes, Malchi, Zichronos, and shofars. Okay. Why is it that the Mishnahs go on to say that Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros, of those three sets of psukim, are meant to be embedded in three brachos? Why not? Why do they all have to be in Shmon Esrei? You can have the shofar, the Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros, before the Shmon Esrei, or after the Shmon Esrei, have separate brachos. In the middle of Shmon Esrei seems so strange. It seems so strange. What are the other mitzvahs that we do? There are at least two other mitzvahs we also do within the Shmon Esrei. Yeah, David? Birkas Kohanim, fantastic. Yes. Birkas Kohanim, okay, good, good, good. So shofar, Birkas Kohanim, and there's one more. This season of the year,
Geshem
and Tal. Okay, good, good. I'm not sure if I would refer to that as a mitzvah. It is true that we have the piyutim of Geshem and Tal in the Shmon Esrei. Good, that's good. That's an elaboration on the Shmon Esrei itself, right? Because the Mashu Ruach Mor Geshem, part of the mitzvah of Shmon Esrei, the Mor HaTal, it's on us. That's right, Moshe. So that's an elaboration. Bismanenu Anu, probably most of us in this room don't say piyutim often in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Right? Some of German extraction are still officially saying piyutim in the middle of Shmon Esrei, like every third week or so. You have Yotzros, you have the Krovitz in the middle of the Shmon Esrei, but those are all expanding on piyutim that expand on the theme of Shmon Esrei. It's far more common Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But you're right. Sometimes we expand on the theme of Shmon Esrei, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Shofar seems like an unrelated mitzvah jammed in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Birkas Kohanim seems like an unrelated mitzvah that appears in Shmon Esrei.
Vidui
Yom Kippur. Right? Vidui Yom Kippur. In the middle, the vidui that you say belachash, that you say in the middle of Shmon Esrei, but after the brachas are over, in the midst of Lekayim Tzar, vidui on in the tefillah tzibur, the tefillah hatzibur, Zaras Hashatz, smack in the middle of Shema Esrei. So what is that? Tshuva is a very important mitzvah. Again, it could be before, it could be after. What the three have in common is probably the following. We'll develop maybe more. But the three have in common is the following. Let's start with vidui, and then we'll come to Birkas Kohanim, and then we'll complete things with the shofar, and then we'll see how that sheds light on one of the other questions we raised yesterday, Simanei Rosh Hashanah, of all things, as well. Why is vidui in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Probably for the following reason. Rambam has something very fascinating to say, the mitzvah of tshuva, I sort of referenced it a little bit earlier. Rambam talks about a mitzvah of tshuva, but at least sometimes talks about not so much as a mitzvah of tshuva, as much as when you do tshuva, you should be mizvadeh in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're engaged in tshuva, so you need to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about your tshuva. There's a lot going on there, which then we'll talk more next week about tshuva, specifically about the Rambam's understanding of tshuva, very different than Rabbeinu Yonah's. The Rambam seems, in saying this, like, why doesn't you say it's a mitzvah of tshuva? Why does it say, when you do tshuva, you should be mitzvada of Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But it's probably driving around, at least in part, is the following. I have 613 mitzvahs. I have 612 other mitzvahs. Then I have a mitzvah of tshuva. So who needs a mitzvah of tshuva? Why does it have to be a mitzvah? I mean, if I've been eating lobster, so I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva to warrant that I have to stop eating lobster. I have a law in the Torah against eating non-kosher species. So that alone forces me to stop eating the lobster. If I'm speaking Lashon Hara, if I'm insulting people, I'm making fun of people, so I don't need a mitzvah to say of tshuva. There's a law of losei lech rachel, I can't speak Lashon Hara. Even if I violate yesterday, it doesn't give me license to violate it tomorrow. So losei lech rachel tells me, don't speak Lashon Hara again. Losonu Ishas Amito, as Amito, the law of Onaz Dorm tells me I can't insult people verbally. If I haven't been careful about benching, so I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva, I have a mitzvah of say of a chaltav zot terechta. What does it mean a mitzvah of tshuva? I have the other 612 mitzvahs that are binding and obligatory, that haven't done as great a job as they ought to. Okay, so tomorrow's a new day. The mitzvah applies tomorrow, even if I violated yesterday. What exactly is a mitzvah of tshuva? That problem is probably is part of what's driving the Rambam to say, the fact that I need to improve myself, I don't need a separate mitzvah for that. I need a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort. And it's going to be a big accomplishment if I pull it off. But I don't need a separate tzivu in the Torah to do tshuva. I have the other 612 mitzvahs that are binding. The mitzvah of tshuva, the Rambam says, instead, is not that I should do tshuva, but how to go about doing tshuva. But just like the Isser against eating lobster, and the Isser against speaking Lashon Hara, the Isser against insulting people, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, and the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon and so forth. So that would help me. Yesterday I wasn't up to snuff. Okay, today I have to do my hardest to meet those standards, to avoid those lavin and to do kind of those asay. Period. Do it right. There's going to be a lot of internal work. It's easier said than done. But the if I only had the other 612 mitzvahs, do it right today. What's the 613th mitzvah, so to speak? Not in the order that counted, but what's this other mitzvah of tshuva? That's probably why the Rambam is saying, when you do tshuva, when you're engaged in a process of change and growth, when I'm seeking to make tomorrow different than yesterday, it's not enough to just, in my mind, grapple with this, and in my mind, restructure and rethink and carry it out, which is incredibly impressive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also said, have a conversation with me about it. When you're engaged in a process of change and growth, you have to be misvadot to Hashem. It can't just be in my own head I'm grappling this. I have to bring all of that, all of the dreams and all of the struggles and all of the regrets about yesterday and all of the dreams for tomorrow, the anxieties for tomorrow, all of that has to be in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't just leave it in the shadows, the recesses of your mind, that you put on the table. You talk about it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mitzvah of vidur. The mitzvah of tshuva for the Rambam is when you're engaged in tshuva, when you're engaged in a process of growth and change and seeking to improve, talk it out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a conversation lifnei Hashem. To be misvadel lifnei Hashem. How do I do that? That's a mamash mitzvah daris according to the Rambam. I'm working on something. We're all working on different things. Mamash and mitzvah daraisa, the mitzvah daraisa to wear tefillin, mitzvah daraisa to bench, mitzvah daraisa to get staka, and mitzvah daraisa to talk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about my change process. When do I talk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When am I lifnei Hashem? Tefillah. Rambam talks about it, we'll talk some more some other time. Rambam talks about tefillah as the ultimate, in a certain sense, the ultimate moment in your daily schedule of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rambam talks very powerfully about visualizing when you're down with Shema Esrei, as though you're in the presence of the Shekhinah, as though I'm talking face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a different face to face conversation we're supposed to have. So Shemona Esrei is a very natural place to be mitzvadeh, either on the back end of the Shemona Esrei after Yilu Ratzin Mayfidu, where you're doing the Tefillah B'Lachash, or in Tefillah B'Tzibi, you don't have that opportunity. So it's front and center in the midst of our public group conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely Chodesh Hashanah. I have this other conversation, and it fits in. These are two different sorts of conversations that I'm meant to have lifnei Hashem. When you get to Birkas Kohanim, it's even better. It's even more centrally linked. Birkas Kohanim, number one, Karen already developed based on the Gemara, that the specific positioning of Birkas Kohanim in towards the end of the Shemona Esrei, following Ritzei, so that's because Birkas Kohanim is meant to be carried out in the context of Karbonos Tzibur. That's the original context you have in Chumash VaYikra. Birkas Kohanim appears both in Chumash VaYikra and Parshas Shmini, I believe, as well as the Chumash VaMidbar and Parshas Naso. He is Aron Siyat Devalam VaYivarchin. A Yered, he comes off the Mizbeach, he's done with the Karbon, and then he gives Birkas Kohanim. So the Gemara points out that builds a model for Birkas Kohanim that it's meant to be in the context of and following on the heels of Karbon Tzibur. But the closest we get to Karbon Tzibur is Ritzei. Avaracham and Shema Koleinu is that we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu Kabbalah Tfilas. In Ritzei, we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu Kabbalah Tfilas as a Karbon. And we ask for the return of actual Karbonos. That's what the Gemara says. Karen Aro explains in Sota. As the Gemara says, Yuduchin, the Kohen need to link up with the Ritzei. They're in motion already in position at the Bracha of Ritzei because they need to link their Duchening with the closest we get to the Karbon Tzibur. But why is it in Shemona Esrei Bechlal? Because what is Birkas Kohanim? It's a form of tefillah. Right. A bracha is a tefillah. A bracha is just a tefillah with a grammatical twist. Usually when I daven, I phrase it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the second person. I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel Nar Fan Allah, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please heal her, as Moshe says in davening for his sister Mir. That's the way tefillah usually works. Ata is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help him. Please help her. Please help us. Please help them. A bracha, to think about Birkas Kohanim, for instance, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. I'm saying, may Hashem, in third person, may He, Hashem, bless you. May He, Hashem, take care of you. May He, Hashem, provide for you. It's still a tefillah. But it's a tefillah where I phrase it with the object, the target of the tefillah in second person, rather than talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I say, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this for you. It's a differently cast tefillah. So Birkas Kohanim does belong, aside from the specifics of Ritzei and Karbonos, it belongs to Shemona Esrei because it is a tefillah. It's another type of tefillah. The Rav suggested, with many rayas, a number of nafkaminas, this is one of the most accessible. Shofar also is a form, it's not just a mitzvah. A shofar is a form of tefillah. It's a way of crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara talks about, at the beginning of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that when you blow shofar, it's kilifnai v'lifnin. It's in a certain sense the equivalent of being in the Kohen Gadol in Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. Just as when Kohen Gadol enters Kodesh Kodesh and Yom Kippur, he doesn't wear any gold. That's what the Psukim say in Achimos, he changes. And Chazal understand that it's part of the reason for that is in Kategor and Asa Saneger. The gold is reminiscent of one of the great, great failings of Klal Yisrael, Egel Hazav. So Egel Hazav can't be on the table when we're seeking Kapar. In Kategor, this is a prosecutor. This is something that reminds us of one of our great chatam. The kategor can't be part of the Saneger, can't be part of our defense. Before Kohen Gadol goes in lefnai v'lefnim, he has to divest himself of all the gold. And he wears pure white, big day lavan. The Gemara says, the second Mishnah, on the second Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, in the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, that that's why we don't use Karen, one of the reasons why, we don't use Karen Hapara, we don't use a cow's horn for Tkiyah Shofar, because if gold is reminiscent of Egel Hazav, so too is a calf or a cow or an ox, gold is reminiscent of, obviously it wasn't the actual animal, but it's that species. So that also reminiscent of Egel Hazav. And the Gemara says, we don't always say in Kategor Nasas Neger, Kohen Gadol all year long is walking around bringing karbanos in the Azara and his big Azav. It's only Lefnai v'Lefnin. But the and I'm not blowing shofar in the Kodesh HaKadosh. I'm not even blowing shofar in Eretz Yisrael necessarily. I'm blowing shofar in the United States. I'm blowing shofar in Argentina. I'm blowing shofar in Ecuador, in Australia. But no matter where in the world you blow shofar, Kevadil Zikaran Ka'asi, the Gemara says, it's coming for Zikaran Kilifnim Dami. It leapfrogs geography. Wherever you are in the world, you're blowing a shofar. It's almost like Kohen Gadol and Lefnai v'Lefnin. Kohen Gadol in Kodesh HaKadosh. Because shofar is also Lefnai Hashem. The shofar is a form of tefillah. Well, what does it mean that shofar is a form of tefillah? What exactly did you say? So I think the Rav writes it very poetically. About the primal cry. Sometimes, I heard Bashem Rai Willi, in the hollow there's a gap, a pasuk we know well. Ana Hashem keni avdecha. Please Hashem, because I'm your Eved. Please Hashem, what? Usually you ask for something, and then you explain, and here's why you ought to fulfill my request. But the Eved Chasim and Haseva, please Hashem, blank. Because I'm Yavdech when I'm a Sechah. Please what? What's the content of the request? Unlike Ana Hashem Hoshia and Ana Hashem Hatzlicha, no, you do. They're clear. You're asking for Yeshua, you're asking for Hatzlacha. So I will suggest, I don't know who he's quoting, this is his own idea, that but it aligns with the Rav's take in Shofar. That sometimes we know, or we think we know what it is that we want, and we articulate our wants and needs, our desires to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes we recognize that I don't even know what it is I need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need a lot. And you know better than I what I need. So I'm just saying, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you fill in the blanks. Ana Hashem, can you have Decha? I'm trying to work for you, and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take care of whatever I need. You fill in the blanks. And that's Tkiyah Shofar. Tkiyah Shofar is a form of tefillah. It's an unusual form of tefillah. All year long, we daven with our mouths. All year long, we daven with words. But on Rosh Hashanah, not only do we daven with words, we daven with za'aka. We cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wordless tefillah of the shofar. It's a day that we need to pull out all the stops. Rosh Hashanah, what that means, is that part of what the Torah is telling us, in telling us that Rosh Hashanah is the day of Tkiyah Shofar, the Torah is telling us that Rosh Hashanah is the day when you need to go all in on tefillah. You need to daven in ways we don't normally daven the rest of the year. This is the day when the need for davening is particularly acute. So that might also explain another practice we have in Rosh Hashanah. Not a mitzvah d'oraisa, but an ancient thing. The other of the questions we mentioned yesterday that we'll address now. Gemara is a Shulchan Aruch, two simanim later in Tavkuf Pei Gimel. Tavkuf Pei Alpha is where it begins and talks about Elul and Slichas. Tavkuf Pei Gimel, two simanim later, Shulchan Aruch talks about Simanei Rosh Hashanah. Based on the Gemara, ironically, the one that's most popular, at least among Ashkenazim, is the one that does not appear in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about black eyed peas, the Gemara talks about leek, and the Gemara talks about a barrage of pomegranates, I believe. The one that's most common, at least among Ashkenazim, the Chabad doesn't mention it, but the Ramah does, is tapuach masok bedvash, apple dipped in honey. But all of these, the Gemara has the notion that Leil Rosh Hashanah you engage in these with these various foods. But again, it seems as though it sounds superstitious, doesn't it? It's a Gemara that seems to fly in the face of a pasuk in Chumash. Well, so not chashuv. Are you allowed to? What if I eat pomegranates in Leil Rosh Hashanah, then I'm getting more zechuyos? If I eat dates on Leil Rosh Hashanah, then my enemies will be eliminated. But if I don't eat the dates, my enemies will not be eliminated. Ma, pesher, adar. What's going on? Okay, so there are different approaches. There are different, several different approaches to this teretz, to this kasha rather. And Meiri has an approach. Others have others based on the Tosis and Aran and Chulin. One approach I've meant to share with you now. I believe the Nesivos has this in his Sefer Megadata, in the Siakov, I think, is the following. So he says, Ramban in the beginning of Lech Lecha wants to know, well, what's this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu he's going to get Eretz Yisrael. Good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him Eretz Yisrael. Go. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I need to spend the next probably couple of months, at least, years, hiking the length and width of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to walk Eretz Yisrael, La'arka L'rachva Ki Lecha Etanana. You're going to walk the length and width of Eretz Yisrael. Miyam Liyam, those who have tried that, you can do it in a couple of days. The width of Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu may be doing more width. The length of Eretz Yisrael, that's quite a commitment. That's a serious hike. Ki Lecha Etanana, because I'm going to give it to you. Okay. Why does Avraham Avinu therefore have to walk it? The Gemara Bava Basra suggests this may have been the kinyan. Sometime that may have been the pain, and the way it became Eretz Yisrael became the permanent property of Klal Yisrael was through this hiluch, through this kinyan of hiluch. Okay, if not, then what was the point? So Rabban says, I'm going to tell you in the beginning of Lech Lecha Perek Yudbeis. He says, I'm going to tell you a concept that's going to help you throughout learning Tanakh. Often you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Navi and a Nevuah. He doesn't only tell him, here's what I need you to tell Klal Yisrael. He says, here's what I need you to do. Don't just tell the king that his country will be split in half, but take his clothing and rip it. Tear it asunder. Don't just tell the Jewish people that Yerushalayim is to be destroyed, but that Yerushalayim is going to be a siege on Yerushalayim. The Yechesma has to actually build a model of Yerushalayim and lie on his side for a very long time next to that model like a conquering army, like a besieging army. And on and on and on. What's with all these, like, most of the time, most of the books in Tanakh are just verbal. Every once in a while, it needs to be acted out. What's that all about? Ramban said, it's a poal dimyon. When you have words of a nevuah that are accompanied by it's being mined, it's being acted out as well, it makes the word stronger, it makes the nevuah that much more powerful and potent. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just tell Avraham Avinu, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to actually walk through the entire land to act out Klal Yisrael, your great-great-great-grandchildren in a couple of centuries will come through as a conquering army. You're already acting out that Nevuah now, and that makes the Nevuah that much stronger. So I believe it's the Nesivos who says, if acting out the words of a Nevuah make the Nevuah stronger, acting out the words of a Tefillah might make the Tefillah stronger as well. So all year long, we daven with our mouths. All year long, we daven with words. But Rosh Hashanah, we pull out all the stops. Rosh Hashanah is the day when you got to mamash amp up your tefillah. How do we do that? In obvious ways, we're davening more. Hopefully, our minds are more in. We recognize the gravity of what's at stake. And we add two new modalities of tefillah. Number one is shofar, the wordless tefillah of the shofar. And that's front and center, the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, because it is a form of tefillah, a very powerful form of tefillah. And then there's another modality of tefillah that we add and we don't use the rest of the year, and that's the poal dimyon. So not only daven, but to interact with foods that capture the tefillah that we're saying. That would probably have been awkward to do in the middle of shul. So that we save for the dining room table. So you come home from shul Leil Rosh Hashanah this Friday night, and you're going to be davening at the Yontif table. Which means that the ikar of the minig is not eating the apple or eating the pomegranate or struggling over whether or not to eat the head of the fish. It's the main part is the hiratzam. The main part is the hiratzam. It's the tefillah. The tefillah is enhanced by being accompanied with an action. Not only do you daven for Shana Tova Masukah, if you even eat something, masok, to reflect what is your daven. Not only do you daven, sheitamu zoneinu, we even eat tomorrow. Not only do you daven, sheinu neil rosh nolzal, if you even eat some rosh hadag or rosh hakeves, if you're really a stronger stomach as well. That means, number one, that to get all excited about all the foods on the table, but to skip the hiratzons is a little bit akin to the famous bad joke about the painter who didn't really understand what mezuzah was all about and told the Baal Bayis, I took the cases down to paint and I put them back up, but I threw away the instructions because I know how to put it up. Well, that's absurd. Obviously, the ikar is the cloth. The case is just a hefetimsa. The ikar is the hiratzah. The food is an enhancement of the hiratzah. So to just eat the food and skip the hiratzah is like just putting up the mezuzah case without the mezuzah. And to the contrary, you don't have to like black-eyed peas. You don't have to like carrots. You don't have to like the head of a fish. You probably could also see the hiratzah and look at it. You want to eat it, so mahajer. But the ikur say the yiratzon, at least in the context of looking at items, interacting with items that that bespeak the tefillah, that physically reflect the tefillah. Again, that goes back to this idea, the Ramban and Lech Lecha, of the Po'al Dimyon, that the words will be stronger when they're accompanied by an action that captures it. So we addressed what seemed formerly like unrelated mysteries, why it is that Kiyas Shofar, the Milah Shemoneh Esrei, as well as Asterus, Duchen is also the Milah Shemoneh Esrei, Vid is also the Milah Shemoneh Esrei, and, unrelated question, the night before, this year's going to be two nights before, why are we so busy with Simani Rosh Hashanah, Leil Rosh Hashanah, and it's very beautiful, it's a Gemara, but why isn't it a violation of Pasuk and Chumash? Yeah, if you thought that this is the magic heebie-jeebie, by eating the dates, I'm changing my year. If that's your approach, that's not authentic. And yeah, that does get you into a theological and halachic danger zone. But if you appreciate that there's a coherent approach here, it's not making it happen. It's a way of enhancing my tefillah. Tefillah is real. Tefillah works. That's authentic Judaism. And this is a way, based on Ramban, of enhancing my tefillah. Shofar is a whole new way of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these two ideas cohere in the sense that Rosh Hashanah is a day when tefillah really, really matters, even more so, even more intensely the rest of the year. And it's a day when there's an expectation that we're going to daven not only more than a different day, but in more ways and more intensity, and hopefully with even greater effectiveness. So that we layer on the shofar, we layer on the Siman in Rosh Hashanah, and the Kor Shemoneh Esrei. The Kor Shemoneh Esrei is the Kor Shemoneh Esrei, the Kor Tefillos are meant to be even more bechavana than throughout the year. Pinchas.
Are you going to extend the same thing to the full floor bowing?
The full floor bowing. That's a very good point. The fact of engaging in shtach havaya, which our practice is not to do all year long, Rambam makes it sound like he was mishtach of that's what tachan was. After you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you enhance the Shemoneh Esrei by being davening the shtach havaya. That's not our practice, right? But we do say that, that's right. We do at least we maintain that of course Rosh Hashanah. That may also reflect that we're trying to daven with more tools. A richer toolbox. These are some of the ideas that they help us hopefully to shape our minds and our hearts as we prepare ourselves over the course of this final week.